Passage this morning is from Genesis chapter 41. We're going to consider together the entirety of the chapter. So it's a longer chapter, 57 verses. So if you have your Bible with you, open it up to Genesis chapter 41, starting in verse 1. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump, and they fed in the reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows. And Pharaoh awoke. And he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump, full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning, his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving us an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. They quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream, I was standing on the banks of the Nile. 7 cows, plump and attractive, came out of the Nile and fed in the reed grass. 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and thin, such as I had never seen in all of the land of Egypt. And the thin, ugly cows ate up the first 7 plump cows. But when they had eaten them, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were still as ugly as the beginning. Then I awoke. I also saw in my dream 7 ears growing on one stalk, full and good. 7 ears withered and thin, blighted by the east wind, sprouted up after them, and the thin ears swallowed up the 7 good ears. And I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. Yet the dreams are one. The 7 lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all of the land of Egypt. But after them, there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow it, for it will be very severe. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years, and let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for the food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. This proposal pleased Pharaoh and his servants, and Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this. There is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck, and he made him ride in his second chariot. And they called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up a hand or foot in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him in marriage Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. During the 7 plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly. And he gathered up all the food of these 7 cities of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt. And he put the food in the cities. He put in every city the food from the fields around it. And Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. Before the year of famine came, 2 sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, bore them to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house. The name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. The 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. There was famine in the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. When the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Pharaoh said to the Egyptians, go to Joseph. What he says you do. So when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is your word, and it's given to us by your Spirit. So would you, by your Spirit, attend to your word? Would you cause it to accomplish among your people this morning what you desire? Speak to us, Father, from your word. Would you forgive the sins of the preacher, which are many? But help me to make much of Jesus. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we continue our study from the book of Genesis, we come to one of the better known stories from the life of Joseph, that is his interpretation of Pharaoh's dream. If you were here last week, or you watched or listened online, you'll recall that when we left off last week, Joseph was in prison, and while in prison, he'd risen to a position of some prominence. He'd been put in charge over the prisoners, though he himself was also a prisoner. He was sort of a foreman over the prisoners. And you'll recall that he interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker. They had been locked up for offenses against Pharaoh. But Joseph told the cupbearer, as he interpreted his dream, he said, you'll be restored to your position as the king's cupbearer. But when you are, remember me. However, although the cupbearer was restored to his position, he didn't remember Joseph, at least not in a timely fashion. Rather, it was 2 years later that Joseph was remembered by the cupbearer. Before we dive into this passage here, throughout this book, we have been tracing the covenant promises of God that he made to Abraham. I will make you a great nation with many offspring, more than the stars of the sky. I will give you the land on which you are standing, and I will bless the world through your seed. And since we know that those promises find their fulfillment in Christ, we must ask a question. Is Joseph the son of Jacob through whom Christ is going to come? No, he isn't. Then why is he getting so much airtime in the book of Genesis. Because Joseph is being used here by God for a pivotal role in preserving the people of God for God's promises to come to fruition. So as we consider this lengthy text together, we're going to see how Joseph is remembered in verses 1 to 14, how Joseph is respected in verses 15 to 36, and how he is rewarded in verses 37 to 57. Joseph has had a pretty tough few years. His brothers despised him. They threw him in a pit. They let their father presume him to be dead, and they sold him into slavery. If we're honest, we have to admit that our natural inclination would be hopelessness. God, if there is one, has forgotten me. If God loves me, he would not let me suffer unjustly. You can imagine us saying that to ourselves. But the truth is, we serve a God whose ways are not like our ways. We cannot see or understand his sovereign plan in our lives. And because we cannot see his plans, we backseat drive how God should carry out his will. If I was God, this is not how I would do things. But it has pleased God to leave Joseph in prison for an additional 2 whole years because he is positioning Joseph for a plan that will mean salvation for God's people and will bring glory to the God of Abraham. God is glorified that the pagan sorcerers and the wise men are unable to give Pharaoh an interpretation of his dream, but this Hebrew prisoner, he can and will give him an interpretation, and he's going to give all the credit to God. So the cupbearer tells Pharaoh, I remember a guy. He knew that you would hang the baker, which you did, and he knew that you would restore me, which you did. He has 100% accuracy. So Joseph is plucked from the prison and given a new set of clothes and a shave, and he's made presentable to stand before the Pharaoh. That's the summary of the first 14 verses. Look at verse 15. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it. I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Here's Joseph, who just a few hours earlier was stinky and unshaven in prison. And now he has been cleaned up, given a clean shave, and he's standing before the king. So when Pharaoh says, I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it, you can imagine Joseph saying, you darn right I can. I'm kind of a big deal. I'm a lot smarter than you. I'm smarter than all your guys. That's why I'm here. But he doesn't do that. Who does he give all the credit for his interpretation to? It's not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Remember last week when Joseph is talking to the cupbearer and the baker, what did he say? Do not the interpretation of dreams belong to God? Tell them to me. So Pharaoh recounts this dream to Joseph. 7 skinny cows devouring 7 healthy cows and 7 blighted ears of grain swallowing up 7 healthy ears of grain. But we're not going to reread the entire passage this morning, but I want you to notice how Joseph continually points the spotlight away from himself. Look at verse 25. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Look at verse 28. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Look at verse 32. The thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Joseph wants to make clear to Pharaoh, to this pagan king, that it is his God that is giving this message to him. Not only does God give Joseph an interpretation of the dream, he gives Joseph the wisdom to tell Pharaoh how to proceed. Now, what does he tell him? He tells him how much grain to store up during the prosperous years. If the bad news is that there's going to be a 7-year famine, the good news is that God is the plan that God is revealing to Pharaoh through Joseph. Joseph tells the Pharaoh, find someone really wise to oversee this plan. Which is sort of like handing him his resume, right? Verse 37. Let's see how he was rewarded. This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And Pharaoh said, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there's none so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne, I will be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck and made him ride in his second chariot. And he called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him in marriage, Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. I'm going to stop right there. Brothers and sisters, this is a story of salvation. What we're going to see is that God is using Joseph not just to save Israel. Yes, he's preserving the Israelites who will come to Egypt and buy grain. But look at verse 57. Who comes? All the earth. All the earth comes to Egypt to buy their grain. Now that's a reference to all the known world. There weren't any Eskimos who were traveling from Antarctica or the North Pole. But this is a salvation of sorts that God is working to save what? People of all nations, tongues, and tribes. And this, of course, points forward to someone who is better than Joseph. They'll survive this severe famine because God provided someone to sit at Pharaoh's right hand to supply grain. And we'll survive the storm of God the Father's wrath because Christ is right now seated at the right hand of the Father. He is ruling. He is reigning. He is pointing people of every nation, tongue, and tribe to the bread of life that is actually himself. Just as Pharaoh lifted Joseph out of the pit and elevated him to a royal status and exalted him and commanded everyone to bow the knee, God the Father raised Jesus, the Son, from a far greater pit, the pit of death. Beloved, Joseph experienced the humiliation of slavery and imprisonment, and God has exalted him now to this high position as the viceroy to what is the most powerful nation on earth here. Why is it the most powerful nation on the earth? Because they have all the food. Humiliation and exaltation. Joseph's humiliation wasn't voluntary. He didn't sign up for slavery. He didn't sign up for prison. But Jesus went willingly. Consider how Paul says it in Philippians 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus was humbled. God has exalted him, and God now says to the world, bow the knee. This account of God's saving work is not a blueprint for us to emulate, to learn how to store grain or how to interpret dreams or how to be the Secretary of Agriculture for a major nation. It isn't a prosperity formula that promises us if we'll just endure a little longer in our misery, God will send us our own Pharaoh who will lift us out of the pit. We just got to hang on a little longer. No, this account is showing us how God raised Joseph for the good of his people and to bring glory to himself. God is going to save Joseph's brothers through the work of Joseph's brother Judah, through whom Christ is going to come. This is a story of God being faithful to his covenant promises. This story points forward to God's greatest rescue plan through Christ Jesus. Just as God was with Joseph, saving his people, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that in Christ, God is reconciling the world to himself. And how does Christ reconcile the world to himself? Paul continues, by not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us, the church, the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you to be reconciled to God. On behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we may have the righteousness of God. Beloved, God has not only has he reconciled us to himself through his Son, who is now seated at his right hand, he feeds us week after week. His body, which is the bread of life, and his blood, which is true drink. You see, our chief problem isn't that we hunger and thirst for food or drink. Our chief problem is that we hunger and thirst for righteousness. And apart from Christ, our righteousness tank is always in famine mode. It is always on E. But thanks be to God that because he gifts us Christ's righteousness, because we are gifted his righteousness, a righteousness that is from God. Because of that, we then have a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. Let's pray. Father in heaven, your son is the one who sits at your right hand. He is ruling and reigning his kingdom. He is the one who feeds us his broken body and shed blood week after week. His body and his blood is true food and true drink. We thank you that you used Joseph to save the people of Israel and that you use Christ to save us. Would you prepare our hearts to come to your table? It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.